We shall be like him. First John chapter 3, verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You don't wait till you're glorified to become a child of God. You become God's child the moment you're born again. Now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. The Living Bible says it this way, in paraphrase, yes, dear friends, we are already God's children right now. And we can't even imagine what it's going to be like later on. But we do know this, that when he comes, we will be like him as a result of seeing him as he really is. I never read this scripture nor think of it without burning with anticipation. I think it is going to be so wonderful to experience the change that's going to come. I want to get 1 Corinthians 15 ready. I want to read you some things in a little while that'll make you shout glory. I don't think any of us fully realize the glory that awaits us as glorified inhabitants of heaven. Now, I know a lot of people, they don't like to hear you talk about heaven. I mean of cults and other kinds of religions, because they say we're really going to be earth people forever and here upon this earth. My Bible said we're going to be called away to be with him. And Jesus said that where I am, there you may be also. Now I know that we're forever associated with this earth, but I also know that our mansion is in a heavenly city. It's called the New Jerusalem. And it comes down from God out of heaven, and it's a part of heaven right now. And it's going to be beautiful beyond description, beyond imagination, that is, in our finite comprehension in this present world. And so in a very real sense, we are going to be associated with earth forever, but we're also going to be citizens of God's eternal kingdom and citizens of heaven. The Bible gives enough of a peek into the future that stirs my imagination and sets my heart ablaze. Never, though, until we get into our glorified bodies and appear in the presence of God in the likeness of Jesus Christ, will we fully realize all that Christ means to us. I don't think we can comprehend the fullness of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But we can revel in the revelation of God's word and in what we do know. But I think it is correct to say that we owe him everything. We owe him everything. Without Jesus Christ, we could not even have been saved, much less brought into the very family of God to be one with Christ for all of eternity. Only through Jesus has this been made possible. Now, one thing that delights me is that God has offered the body of Christ more than was originally offered to Adam. We're members of Adam's race. He was the first man. Eve was the mother of all living, that is, all living human beings. And we trace our roots all the way back to Adam. And what we would have had in him and through him does not compare to what we're going to have in Christ and through Christ. Some people are sorry that Adam ever sinned, and they decry that fact that we have to go through the trials and the temptations of this world, that we have to be born in iniquity and having the sin principle in us with all of the decay and the death and the dying and the sickness and the pain and the suffering and the tears and the anguish, the pain that we go through because of Adam's sin. But while the devil meant it for evil, Jesus Christ has turned it around for our good and for our glory. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has never been asleep, and there's never been a day that Satan could beat him. Everything the devil has ever planned, God can turn it around and can make it work for your good and for mine. Can you shout hallelujah? Thank God. The Bible speaks of that first Adam, but it also speaks of another Adam called the last Adam. It makes it very plain who that last Adam is. The first Adam was the first man formed by God from the dust of the earth. God took that lifeless form that he had made from dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And this was a magnificent creature, a magnificent product of God's creative power, this Adam, our original parent. He had a flesh and blood body that was perfect. You and I don't know perfection these days, this far down the line where sin has made the ravages as it has upon the human family. But back there in the original package and in the original man that God made, he was something to behold. Created in the very image of God, in the very likeness of God, having in him the very breath of God. This magnificent creature, he was never a babbling caveman that evolved from some kind of a baboon or an ape. He was a splendid specimen created in the image of God with a computer brain that could rule the world, that could name all of the animal life and all of the plant life upon this planet, that from his mind could come the governing articles that would bring nations into prominence and into existence, and governments and all of the things that mankind would need. It was all in this person, this magnificent creation of God named Adam. This first man, he was given dominion or rulership over the whole earth to set up social orders. And he was to be largely earthbound, flesh and blood, having his home and headquarters here on this earth. Now, I'll just say in passing that I don't believe God has forgotten his original plan. I know I get a good deal of flack about this, but I read a lot of places in the Bible where that there are going to be perpetual generations forever. And I think that this is true. If you and I, as redeemed beings, saved through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, are going to rule as kings and priests, over whom are we going to rule? If everybody's a king and everybody's a priest, doesn't leave anybody. You got all chiefs and no Indians. And so I am firmly convinced, upon a careful reading of the Word of God, that there will be people living upon this earth who reject the temptation of the devil and the rulership of Antichrist, who refuse to take his mark, and who are alive after the last resurrection takes place, when all the redeemed of Adam's race go home to be with God, And when this earth is renovated with the fire of God, must be the fire of the Holy Ghost that burns up everything that's unlike God, that totally annihilates every vestige of sin, that wipes out the slimy footprints of the devil that has marred the sands of time for 6,000 years, that burns out all sickness and all death and all pain and all anguish, until the new earth that is the product stands in pristine purity, all like the original Garden of Eden, where there is no death and no decay and no pain and no suffering and no want and no hunger and no war and no privation and no wheelchairs and no hospitals and no sirens and no dying and no cemeteries. I mean a new earth and a new heavens. And these who become the seed to fulfill the original plan of God to multiply and replenish this earth and perhaps this solar system will go through that fire, that purging fire of God, like the Hebrew children went through the fiery furnace. Brother, the fire of God will not destroy a child of God. It only energizes him. Hallelujah. That's why when he baptizes you with the Holy Ghost, he baptizes you with fire. The fire of God that will destroy the wicked and the effects of sin only energizes the child of God. And I believe that there will be natural people living on this earth forever. The Bible states that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So natural man will not inherit the fullness of the kingdom, but natural man will enter the kingdom and live under its glory. And I believe that this will be, there will be a judgment of nations. These natural people who are allowed to enter the kingdom of Christ, the king will remain natural people forever. They will be the continuation of the first Adam's race. They will have perfect bodies, extremely intelligent minds, possess the love of God. They will have the tree of life available, so they will have perfect health and eternal life. They will talk with God as Adam did in the garden in the cool of the day and have fellowship with him forever. But if you have been reborn through the second Adam, you have a vastly superior future. Jesus Christ took the dastardly deed of the devil who usurped the dominion of man in the garden, tricked him into sinning until man capitulated and gave his lofty position to the devil. And Jesus Christ took that attempt of Satan to mar and destroy and to cause to be lost forever the race of beings that God had created to take his place. And Jesus Christ turned it around in such a magnificent fashion. I want you to hang on and let me speculate with you just a little bit here tonight. There remains for the redeemed children of God a position so lofty, a future so wonderful, an eternity so beautiful, a life so glorious that our finite minds cannot grasp the wonder of it all. Now listen to what God's Word says very carefully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I begin reading at verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There are human bodies that are made to be terrestrial. They are made to be earthbound and will be forever. But there are celestial bodies that are made to live in the heavenlies, in a spirit realm that far supersedes anything that Adam would ever have known or his offspring would have known had sin not entered the garden. Now listen, there are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There was one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, an earthbound body, if you please. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. All the first Adam could ever have been, had he never sinned, was a living soul. But when this last Adam came, he was a different man when he overcame the devil, and he was made a quickening spirit. Now notice, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Did you hear that? Do you realize the significance of that promise? It tells us we're going to be something different than we are now as human beings, flesh and blood, living in this world. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Can you say hallelujah for the change? This is what the second Adam came to do for you, my friend, to change you into something better than the first Adam ever was. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Whether you go by way of the grave or whether you alive and remain under the coming of the Lord, it does not matter. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Whether they're going to be changed, they're going to be changed. And we which are alive and remain are going to go up to meet with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Oh, hallelujah. No flesh and blood anymore. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Oh, hallelujah. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The devil brought death. He thought he had made the master play to destroy this magnificent creation of God, made in his own image and in his own likeness. And he thought, I've outdone God and I've brought them all down to death. But Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came and he destroyed mortality that we could put on immortality. And now the saying comes to pass, death is swallowed up in victory. I'm glad that grave doesn't have the last word. Hallelujah. I'm glad that coffin is not the final resting place for my body. My body may turn to dust in the darkness of that 6-foot grave, in that casket, whatever it looks like, if I happen to die before the coming of the Lord, but that's not the last word, brother. Death does not have the victory over me. No grave gonna hold this body down. And when that trumpet sound, I'm coming out of there, and so are you, and every believer, amen. And the corruptible is going to be raised incorruptible. Oh, hallelujah. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that last Adam there? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's worth being unmovable, brother. Steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Toil on, child of God. Can you shout hallelujah? Think it not strange concerning that fiery trial. Don't let this thing called pain and suffering put a damper on your victory. Because death is not going to have the last word. And pain is not going to have the last word. And poverty is not going to have the last word. And trouble is not going to have the last word. We may go through some dark days upon this world, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's a better life coming. Can you shout hallelujah? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We find that first Adam made a living soul, but he sinned and took all mankind with him in rebellion against God. And through the Adamic nature that's passed down through the seed of Adam, we all face alienation from God. We all are born dead and in trespasses and in sin. And when Adam joined himself to follow Satan and lost his perfect estate, then man became a far, far cry from the magnificent creature God formed in the Garden of Eden. Satan has led man into hate and into rebellion and into sickness and death and war and lying and deception and pride and covetousness. Man is but a shadow of his former greatness. He can barely last 80 years before his hair turns gray and his teeth fall out and his skin wrinkles and his eyes dim and his veins harden. His heart fails and death sends him back to the dust from whence he came. That's what the first Adam has done for us. But there was not only a first Adam, glory be to God, there was a last Adam. The devil didn't have the last word. And God said, I'll make the last word better than it ever would have been. Had man never sinned, there was a second Adam. He was born of a virgin. Human. But he had no earthly father. Divine. He was as divine as his father and as human as his mother. But he was Adam, the last one. Man had another chance. where the first Adam failed, God said, I'll send the last Adam. And thank God that Adam did not fail. He succeeded. Hallelujah. He came not to just give to mankind the life of the first Adam, but to offer him life more abundantly. The last Adam came to purify unto himself a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. The first Adam was a living soul. He could only grant life through physical procreation. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, was a quickening spirit. He was a spirit being who could grant glorified eternal spirit life to mankind. And that's what he came to do. Hallelujah. He came not only to restore the fellowship between God and man that sin had broken, but he came to bring a new birth. And through that new birth, to adopt us into the royal family of Almighty God himself, to make us sons and daughters of God. Well, you think he didn't top the devil and beat the first Adam? Wow. But not only so we could live in natural, eternal bodies and have conversation and fellowship with him as did the first Adam, but so we could have glorified bodies and dwell with him. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. So that we can be joined with him in eternal union. We can share the glory that God has given.
Selfish idea in the great mind of the Savior. He said, whatever I earn in defeating the devil as the last Adam and the perfect man who was tempted in all points as the first Adam was, yet this time I was without sin. I did it for the human race so I could lift them up from their fallen state, and instead of them being a living soul, could make them all quickening bodies, and everything that I receive over the victory that I've won, I give it to my body. Hallelujah. My friend, he didn't make you a servant. He didn't make you some kind of a slave. He said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. And he said, I'll make it even plainer than that. I call you members of my body. Hallelujah. And you become part of me. And I'm in you. And you are in me. Even as I am in the Father. And we're all joined to him. And he said, my glory is your glory. And my joy is your joy. And my spirit is your spirit. Hallelujah. Quickening spirit. Natural people will be the people of this earth. Glorified people will be the people of the multiverse. I mean by that, you're not restricted, brother. You're not earthbound. Amen. When you become an eagle for God, you don't enjoy hanging out with turkeys. Amen. You were made to soar in the heavenlies. Can you shout hallelujah, somebody? Citizens of heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven, which governs all of creation. The first Adam could never have gone to heaven with the speed of thought. He'd have to have built a space vehicle. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you some abilities that's going to blow the natural mind. It'll take a glorified mind to comprehend it. Amen. Now, we don't know exactly what we're going to be, but we know that when we see him, we're going to be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. And I know that day when he came out of that grave in his glorified, resurrected body, Mary came, latched hold of him, and said, well, I want to talk. He said, don't detain me, Mary. He said, I've not yet ascended. I've got to go back to the Father. What he was saying probably is, I've got to take the blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat of heaven. I've got a trip to take. So don't detain me, because I've got to be back before nightfall. And you go on back and tell my disciples to gather together, because I'm going to go to heaven, and then I'm going to come back and meet with him today. I don't know what that means to you, brother. That blows this mind of mine. Amen. You stand on a clear night and you look up into our galaxy, which is called the Milky Way, and you see the rays of those stars hitting on your eyes that have been traveling through the inky blackness of outer space. They've been traveling for 30,000 years. That light you see has been traveling 30,000 years, and that's just our galaxy. And beyond our galaxy are billions of other galaxies. And some of the light you see from distant stars has been traveling through the infinitudes of space for billions of years. You think of what God has created way back there, prehistoric times. Hey, do you think we're going to travel with the speed of light? That's the goal of science. If they could travel with the speed of light, time would stand still and no one would age. Jesus said, that's too slow. Amen. We don't have 30,000 years to reach the Milky Way. And then 2 or 3 billion to get on up past the other galaxies. And then another 10 billion to get to the heavens of heavens, where God dwells in that magnificent realm. We don't have that kind of time. And so Jesus said, Mary, go tell my disciples to gather together. I'm going to zip back to see my Father, and then I'll be back before evening time. And he disappeared, and with a speed not of light, but with a speed of thought, he went into the heavenly realm, till someone shouted, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of Glory is coming in. Hallelujah. And he gave a report to his Father and to the Holy Ghost. And he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat and said, Adam's race has been redeemed. And now they've become as one of us and part of my body. And I'm going back to stay with him for 40 more days. And zip, he was back in that room. And he walked right in through the wall. The Bible said the doors being shut. Didn't have to come through a window. Didn't have to open a door. Didn't have to tear the tiles off the roof. You talk about beaming Captain Kirk up. He's a spirit. A spirit body that's not limited by the earthy, by Adam's limitation. And he just went zip right through the wall and appeared. And there he was. I don't know all that means, but I do know that the Bible said it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Oh, my friend, do you realize what Jesus Christ has done for you? in your glorified body as a king and priest living in that mansion that has walls of solid diamond 216 feet high, has 12 gates, every one of them is one pearl, that has streets of gold so transparent until you can look down into it like the depth of clear glass, that has that beautiful place, and that's your home, and that's where you're going to have a residence. But that's not the most wonderful thing, but God himself is going to tabernacle with glorified beings, and in that new Jerusalem is going to be God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, and we're going to come to Mount Zion, and we're going to live right there in the hometown with God himself. Hallelujah. Hey, ain't no human carnal mind can make up a space odyssey like this. In your glorified mind, you're going to say, I believe I'll hop over to Jupiter, zip, zip. I believe I'll go up to the heavens of heavens and see the wonders and grandeurs of that place with a speed of thought. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, why go such distances? Why not? You got eternity, brother. Hey, it's not like you only have 100 years to see all of this. You're in a realm where it's high noon forever. Whew! It doesn't appear what we're going to be, but enough of it appears to make me shout and happy, I'll tell you that. It's about all this little peanut brain can stand before it's glorified. Just what I know about what it's going to be like. Oh my. Hallelujah. Now, the people that live here, people of the earth, glorified Christians, not just bound here. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, said, to him that overcometh. You think it's worthwhile to overcome the devil? They say it's not worth it. I can't wait for that pie in the sky. There's too much to see. And what if it's over and nothing ever happens and it's not real? Man, if you can settle for the pain and anguish and sorrow and blasphemy and ugliness and death of this old world with the hope you're going to miss something, you got rocks in your head. Amen. I'll take something better than that. Did you hear me? I don't make my plans to be right here. Jesus said, him that overcometh. It's worth any price you have to pay, my friend. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You realize what that says? Amen. Only to human beings did God offer that. Jesus Christ came on a rescue mission this earth that was unlike anything that ever happened in all of creation. There's no Calvary for angels who sinned. They're doomed forever. The only place you'll find a Calvary is on this planet, where mankind, created in the image of God, sinned and turned their backs upon God. And God said, I'll redeem them if they'll have me. Will I have him? You better believe it. Hallelujah. And I'll overcome the devil too. Because to him that overcometh, Jesus said, come on, sit down with me right here. Where, Lord? At your footstool? No, right here beside me on my throne. And said, you see, my throne has become a part of God's throne. And so we're all here together. I'm not trying to be deity, don't misunderstand me. But in that throne, God the Father is seated, and Jesus Christ is seated, the Holy Ghost is seated, and Dan Schaefer, glorified, is seated also. Now, I don't understand all that means, but I do know this. It was never offered to angels. Because Hebrews said he took not upon himself the form of angels. I may never get through this. I mean, I love to, you know, my mind is so inquisitive about the future that I can hardly stand it sometimes. But he said he took not upon himself the form of angels. He took upon himself the form of man. Why? So we could be like him, like he is. Okay? And so there we are. And what does that mean? Us. Little old weak, puny, finite, fallen man. Suddenly redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we become somebody in heaven. When Jesus, who is God, took upon himself the form of man, the Bible said he was made a little lower than the angels. Now get it? That means that man, in Adam's form, was created being made a little lower than the angels. Bible said, who is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? But now through the second Adam, through the glorification process, through God's own devil, you're not going to defeat this thing that I've done. I'm going to make something so good and so vast and so real until it blows the mind. And now, when a person is redeemed from a position lower than the angels, when he becomes a child of God, qualified to sit with Jesus in his throne, as he sits with God in his throne, and when we realize that there we are, we're lifted up higher than the angels, and higher than the archangels, and higher than the seraphim, and higher than the cherubim in the very throne of God himself. Can you imagine what God has planned for glorified men and women? It doesn't yet appear, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now God said in another place, I'm off of what I... He says in another place that God dwelleth in light, which no man can approach unto. You got that? What did God say to Moses? No man can see me in my glory and live. We're not able. Even as born again Christians, in this physical flesh and blood body, we could not see God in the fullness of his glory and live. No flesh could stand it. It is so powerful, so magnificent, until these temples of clay could not stand it. That's why God said, hey, you can't see my glory. He said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by and you can see my backside. I'll let you just get a glimpse. But said, you couldn't see me in the glory and live. That's why the Bible said over in 1 Corinthians, we see through a glass darkly. But when we're glorified, then face to face. When we see him as he is. Oh, we couldn't stand it now. It'd be too much for us. But oh, when that trumpet sounds, and we shall be changed, we shall be glorified, then we can look into his face without a veil. He doesn't have to stand us in the cleft of the rock and cover us there with his hand. We can stand there in glorified power and look and gaze upon him in the fullness of his strength and his glory. We can see Almighty God, the Father, and God, the Son, and God, the Holy Ghost, in the fullness of the strength of their glory, and we shall be like him. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know what all that means, but it means something good. Oh, hallelujah. You enjoying this? Sitting in God's throne, judging men and angels. You're smarter than you thought. Because it said, then you're going to know as you're known. You say, I'm just a little everyday Christian, said I'm so weak and make so many mistakes. Hang on, child. Just keep overcoming the devil. When he knocks you down, get up and keep going. Keep following. For it doth not yet appear what we should be, but he's going to appear when he does. You know what? Hallelujah. You're going to judge angels. But then you'll know as you're known. Oh my. That little old brain that made a D in trigonometry. Amen. Brother is going to know like God knows. Oh, hallelujah. You say, how could I be a king? How could little old me be a priest? Because you're going to know as God knows you. It doth not yet appear. But hang on, saints. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first Adam couldn't offer you that, my friend. Only offer you flesh and blood in the beauty of the Garden of Eden. But that second Adam came, and he can because he's the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Old devil thought he had messed up God's plan for good when he got Eve and Adam to sin, but he only made a situation whereby Jesus Christ could offer us something better than Adam ever had. God said, I'll show you something, devil. You know, God likes to do that with the devil. The devil complained to him one day and said, everybody's got his price. God said, psst, have you considered my servant Job? Hallelujah. Oh, sinners, let me tell you something. You that are here tonight, don't you ever feel sorry for us Christians. Never in the eternity of Almighty God, outside the triune Godhead itself, has such a position been offered. Not to archangels, nor to angels, not to seraphim, nor to cherubim. Because of Jesus, we have a position in eternal glory that shares all that Christ is and all that he has. We're a part of him. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. The Bible said it doth not yet appear. But it said when he shows up. That we're going to be like him. Oh, hallelujah. I can see enough about him to know already that's what I want. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't ever feel sorry for Christian sinner. I know who the dummy is. The Bible said we become heirs of God. He said, preacher, sometimes you refer to sinners as dumb. They said, how can you ever expect to win them when you run them down like that? Hey, if you've lived in this country as long as you have and heard all the preaching you've heard and you haven't had enough sense to turn to God and realize the good deal that it is, you are dumb. Amen. This one, I don't like that. Yeah, that's just the card of man rising up within you. brother. If you choose hell over heaven, you tell me if that's dumb or smart. Huh? Hello? You say, well, I don't like you. I won't get saved. Well, tell it to Jesus. Amen. But maybe if I shake you up enough and let you see how dumb you really are, you'll change sides and get over where the good things are. Amen. I'm not saying that I'm such a smarty. I used to be dumb just like you are. I couldn't see the forest for the trees. You talk about a dummy. I was number one of all. But one day it suddenly dawned on me, hey, the devil's playing me for a sucker. He's laughing at me. He said, look at that turkey. I said, I'm going to find something better. Can you say amen? And so can you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa. We've become heirs of God, the Bible says. Heirs of God? Now, I could preach 10 sermons on that. Just how rich you suppose God is. You know who's an heir to it all? You're looking at him. You say, you don't look like much to me. I know it. But just wait till you see me glorified. Amen. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All of his glory and honor that he's received by being the second Adam, he says, hey, I'm going to spread it out. I'm going to give it to you. Oh, it doesn't yet appear. But we know. Hallelujah. Christ is God's everything to us. Without him, we would be hopeless and lost. Without him, we would be doomed to hell forever. But through him, we are to receive positions that the angels desire to look into and learn about. And when you stop to think of it, my friend, everything that Jesus Christ accomplished on this earth, he did it for you and for me. He needed none of this for himself. He already had it all when he had the glory with the Father before the world was. He didn't have to come to earth to prove himself to the Father so that the Father could ascertain if he was worthy. He was already worthy. He's a member of the triune Godhead. He thinks it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't come here for himself. He came here for you and me. And knowing my sin and knowing my weakness and knowing my stupidity, I can't imagine anybody loving me that much to come for me and to bear what he did. But he did. He saw something in me I cannot even see in myself. But I'm smart enough to have gratitude for it and say, thank you, Jesus, because you paid the price and made it possible for me to have everlasting life. Can you shout amen? Oh, hallelujah. He didn't come here to prove himself. Christ's victory is your victory. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be to God who giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to us, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Is the world getting you down lately? Be of good cheer. Your Lord has overcome the world. So will you. Doesn't yet appear, but you're going to be like him. Don't worry about it. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection. He cries, because they live, you shall live also. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That means he's a spirit being who has power to quicken or give life to your dead body and spirit. Hallelujah. Christ's life is our life. Jesus Christ, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It did not yet appear, but can you see? It's going to be wonderful. Christ's Father is your Father. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We're heirs to God. We're called the children of God. Did you know that? Christ's anointing is your anointing. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the comforter to you. You'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Christ's peace is your peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world leaves, leave I unto you. Christ's righteousness is your righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, Jesus Christ has made unto us righteousness. Through him we have right standing with God. He has erased our sins through his blood. It is as though they never existed. He is our justification. You say, are you worthy of it? Absolutely not. I have fallen on my face so many times, failed so miserably until I'm not worthy of anything, my friend. But God saw something in me that I can't even see in myself. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have a life and that you might have it more abundantly. And when you don't have righteousness of your own, I'll let my righteousness be your righteousness. And if you'll just confess me and live in me and walk in me, you'll be considered righteous. When God the Father says, what about him? Jesus said, he's okay, he's righteous. God sees you through the blood of Jesus that has been applied to your life. Filters out all your imperfections when you look through the blood that's been applied and that you've received. Oh, his sanctification is our sanctification. His wisdom is our wisdom. Don't have time to go into all of these. I could preach a sermon on every one of them. His mastery over Satan is our mastery over Satan. Jesus Christ came that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he succeeded at Calvary in the resurrection. His name is our name. He said, you do it in my name. I give you my name. His invincibility is your invincibility. He said in Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give you authority and power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Christ's glorification is your glorification. It doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Christ's home is your home. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the most glorious of all, and how he does it, I don't know. I don't understand it. But Christ and I, and Christ and you, are one forever. Inseparable. The head connected to his body. And we're joined. And he's the bridegroom, and we're the bride. And somehow it's what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be formally and for all of creation to view and to see, be joined somehow to Jesus Christ in a formal ceremony. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you and I and all born-again believers, glorified saints, are going to be joined to Christ forever. You say, what does that mean? It does not yet appear. But I know enough to make me shout and happy. Will someone say hallelujah? All because of him. Hallelujah. I'm sorry that Adam fell, but I'm glad Jesus came and made something better out of it. Thank God for Jesus. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah. It's no wonder. It's no wonder God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Oh, hallelujah. And I bow my knee and I confess with my tongue that Jesus is Lord.
to the glory of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. What shall we be? We don't know. We know enough to be happy. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the best part of this sermon has to wait until resurrection morning, when you open your glorified eyes and look into his beautiful beaming face and no longer see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, knowing as you are known, seated in God's throne, high above it all, in the very family of God himself. My. Ain't this rich? Amen. This all some of that speculation. Well, maybe, but it says we don't know yet. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm trying. But a lot of it's reality. Because there are some things we know. Just because we see through a glass darkly doesn't mean we don't see at all. We do see something. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit are partial. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but that part that we do know and that we do prophesy is good. And what the Bible reveals to us, it's wonderful. You can stake claim to it. It's true. But as glorious as it is, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But even in this Holy Ghost age, when God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, it's through partial gifts, partial revelations, seeing through a glass darkly, but then face to face. It doesn't yet appear, but enough appears to make me so shouting happy to be a servant of Almighty God until sometimes I can hardly stand myself. Amen. Not through personal pride, but because of him, my last Adam. My first father let me down. But my last Adam didn't fail me. He has offered me everything. Stand on your feet or I'll go all night. I tell you, I get to thinking about this sometimes. That's almost more than I can stand. Hallelujah. This old body of flesh can't take it. Amen. Hallelujah. Like the old timer said, I read about one of them that said, the blessings of God came so strong until I had to ask God to stop. He's going to kill me. My old physical body couldn't take any more. You know what I'm saying? It doth not yet appear, but oh, when he shall appear. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, let me tell you something. God has come to do something good for this fallen race. You may be lost and away from God, living in sin, not having cared very much about spiritual things. I want you to know God loves you, and he can change you. And notice the first part of my text. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You can become a child of God tonight. Didn't say you'd be glorified tonight. I said you can be a child of God tonight. I mean your name written in heaven. God is your Father. You can do that tonight. And you can have everlasting life. And then when you're glorified, you'll get the full payoff that I can't explain to you because it doth not yet appear. But there's plenty of it that does. And that's what we love. Well, I guess the singers are coming. I don't know whether I asked for them or not. But God wants to really do something for you. I don't understand why Jesus did all this. I understand part of it, but not all of it. But I thank God he did. And I'm glad he included you and me, and you can find him if you really want him. If you're here tonight and you appreciate what Jesus has done for you, even though you're lost, you're not following him. You're following your own flesh, your own lust. You're not a church person. You're not a religious person. But you appreciate what God's done for you, and you want to take advantage of it and be a part of it. If you're in this audience and you need forgiveness for your sins, we're going to pray for you, and God's going to change you tonight. Wherever you are, if you'll just raise your hand and signify by that. Every service we come, there are people who come with the purpose of being saved. Maybe you didn't, but you feel like you'd really like to know this God and get over on his side. You raise your hand. That's your first step to saying, God, here I am. I want you to forgive me and make me your child. Anywhere in this audience, raise your hand if you need God's help and God's forgiveness and you need prayer. You just raise your hand up. Amen. Thank you. Are there others? Raise it up wherever you are in this audience on a Sunday night.